Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half of the show, Joe Coy comes rolling in and he's loaded for bear. Big announcement, and he brings it. Take a deep dive into the TV show Kung Fu. Hilarity ensues. First, Dos Equis. Hey, college football fans, how about it? Need to brush up on your knowledge? Enroll in Dos Equis College Football Football College. You'll learn from brilliant football minds like Jay Cutler, Martellus Bennett, Katie Nolan, John Bacon. Not only will you win every football argument this season, you could enter to win a chance at the 2020 College Football Playoff National Championship. Be the first in your family to earn a football watching certificate from a beer school. Enroll in Dos Equis College Football Football College at dosequis.com/edu. That's dosequis.com/edu. Dos Equis. Keep it interesante, right, Dawson?
Dos Equis Beer Brands. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. Copyright 2019. Dos Equis Beer Brands. No purchase necessary. 50 USDC, 21 plus only. Enter by 12/2019. Full rules available at dosequis.com/edu.
Support for the Adam Carolla podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Imagine how it feels to have an award-winning team by your side through every step of the mortgage process. That's exactly what you get with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage does more to help you understand the home buying process so you can get exactly what you need. They've helped millions of Americans achieve their dream of home ownership. When you're ready to purchase your home, and the home of your dreams, they can help you as well. J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 6 years in a row. When you work with them, you get more than just a loan because Rocket Mortgage is more than just a lender. Right, Dawson?
Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, and streaming live on YouTube, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Joe Coy, and sports broadcaster Lindsay McCormick. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, the opposite of ASMR, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Just get a minute, get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I want to thank Rocket Mortgage and Dos Equis and Custom Inc. and Castle for sponsoring this half of the show. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Every child deserves the right to be hugged.
Joe Coy in studio. Joe Coy, I heard secondhand, sold out the Fabulous Forum.
Sold it out.
And I saw you post it, a week ago, and I thought, uh-oh. That's a big venue, and mostly it's in Los Angeles. So Los Angeles is a tougher ticket for most comedians. No, you have to sort of travel to sell out those bigger venues.
To be appreciated.
And when you come back to L.A. So sold out in what period of time?
Pre-sale, we were already at 90%. And then we did a general, and it sold out.
How many tickets are we talking about?
It's crazy. It's even crazy. I get chills even talking about it, but it's a little over 13,000.
Oh, my God.
Well, geez, I hate to...
And that's when you set the stage up at the end.
Yeah,
you can,
right.
You can configure it in a certain way.
But
so I'm doing the traditional end style. A lot of are doing the in the round.
Right.
And I'm doing that in a couple venues, but I do prefer the end stage.
Now this begs the question, if the first show sold out this fast, is it in February 2020?
February, yeah. You know what else?
You got to put a second show on sale,
right? Is that crazy?
That's crazy, but you do, right?
We're thinking about it. But you know, here's another one, Adam. Mm. The same day we put on Chase Arena, which is where the new Warriors, the new arena for the Warriors. So they haven't even played there yet. And that sold out in in one day.
Wow. Unbelievable. I love this story. Is there a difference for you playing venues that size versus playing clubs in terms of the act, the material, gesticulation, things of that nature?
I think it's just my speed is a little faster. My energy is a little higher, too. So I'm talking to a lot of people in, like, section 300.
You have to fill an arena with your
energy. Yeah, exactly. Right. So I amplify. I go left, right. I don't stay in one spot. You know, at the improv, I tend to stay right in the pocket and talk to the people in the front row, do a lot of
unbelievable.
You're like caged tigers on the prowl.
And I know Netflix and the Netflix specials and all and word of mouth and everything else. Is there something else? Is there some other component to this? Is there some component that involves, a technology? Is there something? I know I sound like a grandfather now, but what I'm saying is how's the word getting around so fast? Where's everyone going? Is it Instagram? Like, what is going on that people find it, get it, and it goes this quickly?
Man, I don't know. I was always doing good numbers, but I think I'm just gonna say it. Netflix. If they didn't give me the special, you know that
you went and got it.
I paid for it myself. But I mean, but after that, and no disrespect to Netflix, I'm glad. I love Netflix, but the second one coming in hot. Oh my God, man! I saw a spike like you wouldn't believe.
Wow. Well, I mean, so everybody.
The last one in Hawaii. The last one I just did in Hawaii.
Right.
That's where the big spike came
from.
So
everybody, you think about this. You go to Netflix, what year now? What year do you go to them initially and say, hey, how about you guys give me some money and I'll do a stand-up special for you guys? What is the date of that first
reaching out to them? It was 2015.
2015, yeah. So 4 years ago,
yeah,
give or take. Mm-hmm. So 4 years ago, you reach out to them and you go, hey, how about you guys give me some money and I will deliver you a one-hour stand-up special.
Yeah.
And they say, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what was crazy, Adam, is I was selling out improvs across the country. Like, not just like a weekend. I was doing like 15, 16 shows in a row.
Yeah.
Like, I was doing 8,000 tickets at an improv. It was like when they said no to me, I was like, huh? Like, what do you mean? No? Like, I was like, I wanted to cry. Like, what do I have to do to prove to you that I deserve an hour?
I always kind of tell people it's not what you know, it's what they know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like you try to get them to know what you know, and you think they would do the math, but they really don't.
Yeah.
Like, they really don't. Like, the executives sort of, I'm not into this or I'm not. It's sort of like you, I always say this. It's like when some guy's like, you heard of that band, Jaguares? They're selling out soccer stadiums in South America. Right. And you go, no.
They go,
well, they sell out soccer stadiums.
So
and you go like, yeah, well, there you go.
I don't even like soccer. So.
If it's off your radar, it doesn't exist.
Like, it's like they literally, and I don't know if they think you're lying or they just, they're not interested.
Yeah, it was weird. It really hurt my feelings. And I just couldn't, I was even offering them, Adam, like, I'll fly you out. I kept saying that. I go, I'll fly you to San Francisco. Just see what I'm doing right now. I was offering, and then even that, they were like, "Nah, we're good."
But the,
what do you want me to do? I will fly you in and fly you back home the same night. Like, I was doing that.
Oh,
stuff.
Oh, well, that's the other thing that the other part of this that people don't understand is when you start then saying to them the powers that be, like when you go like. You have a book, you know, and you go, I'm doing a show in Sacramento and I can do a book signing. But if I fly in a day early or whatever, you just got to buy like a Southwest ticket and I can go in a day and they're like, nah, we're good. And you're like, why are you good? Why are you saying no? Why?
The added value.
It's almost that show business is like chicks. They're wired like chicks. They're fucking wired like chicks, which is.
This is going to be all insulting.
Yeah.
It's going to be all insulting. The dudes are wired like chicks, and the chicks are wired like super chicks, which is if
like the criminally insane.
No, if Bradley Cooper comes up to the plump chick at the end of the bar and asks if he can buy her a drink, the answer's no because he walked over to her.
It's he must be desperate.
Groucho Marx
you
here.
Went, it's got to be your idea.
You went to them.
Yeah.
You said, I will fly you over. I will buy you a ticket. You come to San Francisco. You see, and they're like, oh, that's your idea?
Mm.
It, you must be desperate.
Yeah.
It must
yeah.
not be good.
Ooh.
Our job is convincing people to do, like, we have a job. We have to convince Alec Baldwin to do a game show.
Yeah.
That's our job. You showing up to us and convincing us of things? Not
nah,
interested
not good,
because
not good.
You showed up to me. It was your idea.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 years ago, you do this,
uh-huh.
and most people would go home, and they'd be angry at Netflix, and yeah. they'd go, screw those guys.
And blast them on Twitter.
And blast them on Twitter, which isn't, all right, that's fine for the drive home, but at a certain point, your end game is you want to get on Netflix
yeah.
so that you can have exposure, so that you can sell out these major venues. So you do what then next?
I look at my manager and I go, we got the money. Well, he was the one, we got the money to do it. So let's just do it. And I was like, oh man. I'm like, all right, let's do it. I did not want to invest that much money into a special.
Right.
And then I was just like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. But I was mad. I was mad the whole time. I was
right.
mad that I had to hire a director. I was mad that I had to scout locations. I was mad that I had to pay for the logo behind me. I was mad every time. Every time they said, this is going to cost you this much, I was like, okay, yeah, just add it. It just got to the point where I was numb. I was like, all right, add it. But
it's like a wedding when you get towards the end. It's like, well, we also need that. Fine, just put it on the tab.
Several yeah. hundred thousand more. Dollars.
Yeah. Okay, bring out
that. Out of your pocket.
Maybe not.
So now,
more than that.
Oh, my God.
Well, I you always wince when I throw out the number.
Yeah,
so.
I do.
So I
also tell you to stop talking about it,
I know,
Adam.
But it's several hundred thousand dollars out of your own pocket to a group that had already expressed to you that they're not interested in your
exactly.
product.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why when I tell people, like, when you're so quick to hate on somebody for their success, but why don't you find out their story first before you hate on what they're doing now? Mm. Like, everyone's so quick. Oh yeah, you're successful because Netflix gave you a special. It's like,
did they?
Well, did they? Or did I get my own yeah. special? Because my son was asleep in the green room, and while I was telling jokes on stage, I was like, in my head, like, I'm broke. I have no money. And the person I want to sell to already said no. Like, all that was on my back, my shoulders that night. Like, I was just, like, so depressed. Like, if I would have had a horrible set that night, it would have been done. There was
right.
no way they were going to take it.
So you go out, you shoot it. Where'd mm-hmm. you shoot the first one?
The Moore Theater in Seattle.
Oh, right. That's right. Of course. Beautiful
yep.
theater. You shoot it. You have a director, you have a cameraman, you have everything else. It's super expensive.
Yep.
You whack it into about an hour.
Yeah.
You submit it to Netflix?
Yeah.
And
you know what's crazy is we tried to get a play, and then and no one was offering. We got a couple offers, but they were too low to even cover the expenses that I paid.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can't use that. I'm not, that's okay. And then finally we went to Netflix, and we were like, look, just look at it, because it's good. I go,
right.
I knocked it out of the park. And then the minute we put it on their desk, they said, don't shop it around anymore. We're gonna put in an offer. But
wow.
then that took almost 4 or 5 months.
Right.
And then they said yes the day before Thanksgiving, and I cried in the car.
Mm. As you should.
Yeah.
You
tripped a fan, man.
But
yeah.
you
I was crying hard.
You bet on yourself.
Yeah.
That's the point. I don't think people know that in everyone's story, there's some point where they bet on themselves, mm. and it's not just about believing in yourself. It's about putting up a ton of cash,
yeah.
oftentimes,
yeah.
whether it's a small business or a stand-up special or whatever that is, and you have to be willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have to have a very realistic assessment of yourself and your talent, because if, in fact, you're not as good as you think you are, and you go out and shoot that special at the Moore, and it's a subpar product, then Netflix and nobody else is interested, and you're out hundreds of thousands of dollars,
yeah.
and there's no buyers. Like, you have to have a realistic relationship with your talent and your ability.
Yeah. You know what else is crazy? Is they put in a low offer. Right? So the initial offer was so low. And
they're not dummies.
And my agent was like, okay, I'm going to counter. And then they countered. And I go, just take it. Because I just wanted it to be on Netflix. That was
right.
all I wanted was Netflix. I care less about the money. If I take less than half, then whatever. Just get it on Netflix. And he goes, no, I'm going to go back in and get a counter. He went in and got an counter. And already my heart's pounding because I'm like, how about if they walk away? You know what I mean? Like, we put in a counter. And I'm like, you know what? We're good. So he puts in a counter. They come back with a counter, and he countered again. And wow. I go, I don't want to say his name, but I go, please, just take it, man. I don't want to lose this. Like, I really, really want this.
He was betting on you when you weren't betting on you.
And he was like, listen, Joe, I think I did right by Dane Cook. And Billy Joel, I think I know what I'm doing. Now let me at these guys.
Power agent.
That's right. So, but here you are.
Yeah.
And now you've sold out the Forum, which is obviously where the Lakers played all those years. And,
it's amazing, man.
It's incredible.
When I walked down that hallway, right, because we went to shoot that video. I shot a promo there. Mm-hmm. And I was walking down the hallway to go to the stage. And it's just every name on the side of the wall. And it's like Aretha Franklin, James Brown, Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5, AC/DC, Motley Crue, Elton John, Bruno Mars, Travis Scott. And it just keeps getting Whitney
Those
Houston.
Those dudes aren't even funny.
And Joe, to your point.
And then they said, this is where we're painting your name.
Yeah.
Wow.
And to your point, the only two things I've ever seen, the only two people I've ever seen at the Forum are Prince and the Dalai Lama.
What?
And then Joe Coyle.
Titans of industry.
The trifecta.
That's right.
And who opened for who? That's the real question.
Funny. Mm-hmm.
So all the kids listening, wanting to do something in their life or their career, understand there's always setbacks. People don't hand things to you, and you got to go out there and get some for yourself, like Joe Coy.
Thank you.
Did.
Can I just say one more thing? I'm done. I called my manager when I was on the road, and I can show you. I'll prove it to you. But I wrote it down on a piece of paper, the places I wanted to play in 2020, and I said Staples, there was a toss up because Staples put in an offer, but they gave me the wrong date. They gave me a Tuesday. If they would have gave me a Saturday, I would have been over there. But the Forum offered. The weekend. And I was like, well, then I'm going to the Forum. So I said that. And then I also said the DAR, which is where Eddie Murphy played, where he shot Delirious, which is the special that like made me want to become a comic. And it's like 7,000-8,000, whatever. It sold out in less than a day. And we added a second, and it's almost sold out. And I'm
where's
just like,
that at?
It's in Washington, Constitutional Hall.
Mm.
And it's just
unbelievable.
Like, I'm like, wow, man, this is real. It's really happening.
Wow.
Max Pata had a clip of...
Oh, I said one more thing, too. I'm sorry, Adam. I said Radio City Music Hall, and that's almost done, too.
Oh damn.
Yeah, so those were the three. I said, I want to play these in 2020, and I sent it to my manager, and he goes, all right, we'll work on it. And we put it on sale, and all of them were almost sold out. Well, the DAR sold out. Forum sold out, and radio is at like 80-90%.
Well, you can. Where should we go? Should we send people to the website?
What's the point? It'll sell it on its own anyway.
I got questions for Joe. I was Max Zapata had whacked up a couple of unprepared that I did at the Napa Theater, Uptown Theater in Napa, and you put together one, but you also had Kung Fu, right? And I don't know why, but I don't know, felt like. It'd be more appropriate to play Kung Fu unless you want to do the critical mass one. What do you want to do?
Critical mass another time. Let's do Kung Fu.
All right. Do Kung Fu. This is Taylor pulling the balls out of the hopper.
That's my job.
The next one is Kung Fu.
Kung Fu. Kung Fu used to mean something, you know, like when I was a kid, Kung Fu was a TV show. You're too young. You guys remember the TV show Kung Fu? Kane, David Carradine. Boy, you want to talk about cultural appropriation. He wasn't even fucking Asian. He was playing a Chinese guy. And he would just walk. And the thing I learned from watching Kung Fu when I was 10 years old is for a guy who started every act one was him walking into some like Western bar and he'd be like, may I have water? And then they'd go, we don't want your kind here, Chinaman. And he'd go, I seek no trouble. And I thought, okay, but for a guy who announced that he wanted no trouble, he sure beat the fuck out of a lot of locals. Like, if I go to a fucking bar across the, from the theater and I go, I don't want any trouble, there's a good chance I'm just going to drink and go back to the hotel. I'm not going to throw a fucking spinning wheel kick in slow motion and beat the shit out of everyone at the bar. Every episode started with him going, I want no trouble. And every episode ended with him beating the fuck out of everyone in the town. And then he would just walk to the next town and beat the shit out of everyone there. Then we didn't want any trouble. David Carradine, you know how he died, right? Like, he died in, like, I don't know, Bangkok or something. Autoerotic asphyxiation. Like, he hung himself in, like, a closet or something. Just, I got to tell you, can we have some goddamn dignity? Like, whoever found David Carradine with his dick out, hanging in the closet in Manila. That fucking person should have put him in a red, white, and blue gi and laid him down on top of the bed and put nunchucks in his hands and went, that's how I found it. That's how I found it.
Yeah, man.
Let's make this pact right now. If I die beating off and any of you find me, fucking put me in the red, white, and blue gi and just lay me on the bed. Would you please?
That's great.
Kung Fu.
That was great, man.
I've always, I that was like, that's I always thought that when right I was there. A kid. I was just like, all he does is say he doesn't want trouble, and then he kicks the fuck out of everyone in town.
Yeah.
And no one catches on either. He just goes to the next town and goes, I don't want, we don't, you found trouble, Chinaman. And then he beats the crap out of everyone in that town.
I love the fact that they would call him Chinaman. He clearly had blue eyes and blonde hair.
The first guy, it's sort of, there's kind of a Leno joke in here. I think it's a Leno joke, but like if you'd ever watch Star Trek and you go, who's that new crew member? That's the first guy to go.
No, always.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
that's the first
expendable.
Guy.
Yeah.
He's going.
Yeah.
And the first guy that calls Kane Chinaman, he's the first guy who gets his orbital socket crushed with that guy's heel.
As he should be.
First guy who says the word Chinaman is the first guy that drops. That's how that works. I knew that watching the show. Should have used some other slur. All right.
Did they steal that from Bruce Lee? Because that was in the Bruce Lee. That was in the Bruce Lee story. Chris, you know what I'm talking about.
It's a long held trip.
Chris, you know what I'm talking about. Bruce said he came up with that idea, and then he gave that idea to a network exec, and they said, "Yeah, we want you to do it," because it was supposed to be Bruce going from town to town.
Oh, it was.
And that would have made more sense when they called him Chinaman, because you know that would be right.
Right. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he noticed that they gave it to David, and then he was sitting at home, and then that show came on, and he was like, that's the show I pitched.
That had to be confusing for so many reasons for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He developed a concept for a TV series called The Warrior, meant to star himself, about a martial artist in the American Old West.
Wow, yep. That is a ripoff.
See?
And he would have all these flashbacks, because he was like a Shaolin priest or something, and the blind... You know what's weird about the Asian guys when they go blind? When black people go blind, they put on sunglasses.
Yeah, man.
When Asian guys go blind, they would stare at their weird milky eyes.
Yeah.
Could you guys get some goddamn sunglasses so we don't have to go through that indignity? It's grossing us out. You never see the Asian master wearing the Wayfair.
No, never.
No, he's got the weird milky eyes.
The dead eyes.
When you see like the black jazz musician and he's blind and he's wearing the glasses, do we ever go, oh, bullshit, let me see your corneas? Like, we believe him. We believe you Asians.
Yeah, the Asians have sunglasses two beautiful
on.
Marbles in their eyes.
His master was a blind guy. Who would always, like, he would ask him to, like, snatch the pebbles
snatch,
from...
Snatch marble from hand.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. No, now. Don't talk.
Well, you're blind, right?
Yeah. Oh, where are you?
I already have the pebbles. You pulled Skittles out of your pocket.
Hold on.
I put Skittles in your robe.
David. David.
Yeah. Kane. You call me Kane.
Kane. I'm sorry.
David's... My mom calls me David.
Yeah, I understand. Kane, listen.
Yes.
When I say go, then do. Don't do before I say go.
Yeah.
Then it's not skilled.
You're blind, right? I'm giving you the middle
finger.
That's
why I have a milky eye.
I have my dick out right now.
What?
You have no idea, do you?
Is that what that is?
You're blind.
Oh.
I just flew into the bird.
Wow. You know,
yeah.
Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm. Wait, stay focused.
Okay. You have pebbles in your hands?
I have a pebble in my hand.
Yeah.
I replaced them with Fruity Pebbles. So they're still pebbles. Do you notice they feel lighter?
Yes, they are. Rather.
Yeah, I took the pebbles.
And they smell good, too. They smell good,
too. Put the pebbles in your robe. But anyway, so Fruity Pebbles. That's right.
All right, hold on. Please, hey, stay focused. I'm trying to teach you
Kung
Fu.
I got a question.
Is there, what?
Look, don't get me wrong. I like all the rituals that are going on here. And I feel like I'm really developing a warrior spirit. The part where we stuff our hands into hot, scalding sand.
Oh, that's good that's good for your hand. Make
I think I could just kind of hit the heavy bag a little more and get a tougher hand from doing that. The hot, that's tough, and the branding, too, when the
must
inner
brand
palm
to
where
let
we brand.
People know where you learn your kung fu.
I don't know. Maybe look you're blind. Look maybe you haven't heard. This isn't a black fraternity. You understand? We don't keloid like others. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of a waste of time with the...
Omega Pi.
Yeah, yeah.
Omega
I'm not going to the NFL. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, anyway, Pebbles.
Sterling Sharp had Omega Pi. He was also a kung fu master.
Yeah, let me ask you this.
Sterling Sharp, his brother, the
nickname
the other one.
Grasshopper. It doesn't really instill fear into the hearts of my, it's a grasshopper. You know.
But have you ever seen grasshopper move?
It's a drink that gay guys drink. They sit around, they destroy crops.
Yeah.
What about like praying mantis? You know what I mean? Like, I feel that's
we
a move.
We already give that name to someone else. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's barely mantis.
Oh, well, what about dragon?
Oh, no. Dragon is the guy that created the show. Bruce Lee is a dragon. We stole this show from him.
But it's got to be something better.
I want to give you the proper name since you stole the idea from the great Bruce Lee.
We want to call you
Grasshopper.
Mm.
Yeah, you jump around like an asshole from grass to grass.
All right.
Just like an untalented, no kung fu having asshole that steals show from... The great Bruce Lee.
Yeah, listen,
you
Bruce.
Are a grasshopper. We wanted to call you asshole hopper.
Yeah, okay. But now it's getting insulting now.
Sensei.
Now, listen, and by the way, a Shaolin priest is a priest. I don't think you should be using that kind of language.
I understand. But our Lord said it's okay to call an asshole.
Okay, well, look.
And you, my friend. Are an asshole.
Bruce is driving the Lincoln for the Green Hornet guy. I think he landed on his feet. I understand.
But
yeah.
While he was driving the car around, he came up with idea for Kung Fu. And then we all got excited that Bruce Lee would be the lead actor.
I read the pilot.
This blonde hair burai asshole walking in wanting to call a dragon.
I have a great-grandfather on my... mother's side that has some Korean in him, so don't call me
a
non-Asian.
What does that have to do with the Chinese?
The Korean, Chinese, Japanese,
no, that's
whatever.
Not
it's all the same mess.
You son of a shit.
It's the same shit show. What do I care?
You.
All right,
fuck
now, this
you.
Is someone else for us to beat in a war. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. I didn't want to have to turn this way. I read his script.
Yeah.
Sure, it was about an Asian guy who was a master in kung fu. He wandered Western times finding love and beating foes. But this is a totally different concept.
It's the same exact concept. You don't feel weird every time a cowboy look at your blonde hair, blue eye, and call you a Chinaman? You don't think that's weird at all?
Yeah. Can I say this? In the script, in the pilot, that your hero, Bruce Lee, wrote, by the way. He was wearing flip-flops when he walked through the desert. I'm barefoot, so it's a totally different concept.
You son of a shit.
We have a...
You are a son of a shit.
We have a clip of the master talking to young Kane in Kung Fu.
1972.
We just heard it. Sorry. CSI.
Master, I'm
sorry.
Master, you have said that we are to make ourselves one with life.
As the leaf flows with the river, it does not hold it back. It makes not even a ripple.
Should not the branch then be left as the wind has left it?
If I do not help it to heal, it will wither, never to bear fruit for the birds to eat. Would you have the birds go hungry?
No, Master. But if we help, how then are we like the leaf on the river?
Do what must be done.
But, Master, how will I know when to be like the leaf and when to do what must be done?
What do you think?
Guy could use some sunglasses.
The way to do is to be.
Yoda.
Now, let me look.
Makes a lot of sense.
The way
I don't need to explain myself, but this role was originally, they'd suggested Nipsey Russell for
it.
And I said, calling that guy master over and over again, it was going to be problematic. So it could be a lot worse, all right?
That's...
You want to talk about cultural appropriation? Yeah, we had the guy from Blazing Saddles. What the hell's his name?
Not Gregory Hines, but... Yeah, no, the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy.
Cleavon Little.
Yeah, he was originally slated to play Kane, so this could be a lot worse.
Listen to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
You really know Kung Fu, or you just actor?
I do it in slow motion.
What?
Oh, my God.
Did you see that?
Oh, my God.
Now watch me do it again. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen.
Just millimeter from your eye.
Jesus Christ. And
you're blind. Hey, where are the white women at?
You're blind as well. Yeah.
I tell you.
Oh, no. Hey.
I tell you.
Listen.
I tell you.
Okay. I believe you.
Look in your pants.
No. What?
Your dick is gone.
My dick? What happened to my dick?
I need you to snatch dick out of my hand. Come on.
My dick.
Snatch dick out of my hand.
Jesus Christ, you went full
If you can grab your dick, then you are officially master.
You went full Lorena Bobbitt on my ass. All right.
Flutes.
Yeah.
Continue flutes.
Yes, I should be a...
Snatch dick from hands.
Ironic, you're saying snatch and dick
on
in the same sentence.
Three,
and okay.
One, two, three.
Whoops.
Guess why it didn't leave my hand.
It's too light.
No, because that was my dick.
Your dick.
Yes.
Twist.
Enjoy.
It's weird because
enjoy being a master.
I knew I was uncut. You know, I was confused. Do we have the beginning of Kung Fu? The beginning of Kung Fu
when he walks.
Shows him doing the branding on his wrist and like snatching the pebbles and doing the whole nine yards.
But
anyway,
it doesn't have any kind of like Beverly Hillbillies theme song, right?
No,
it explains how he's wandering from town to town, not
come
seeking
on, Gina.
Trouble.
This is a legit Kung Fu TV show, not a cartoon.
Yeah,
it's about real life. My God,
he thought he was only gonna be gone for 3 hours.
No,
oh.
3 hour tour.
No.
All right,
snatch dick from hand.
Snatch. It's a show. Somebody said they were like binge watching it on going back to, I don't know, Netflix or Amazon or something like that, that it was on. And the guy said it holds up. Like it's still a good show.
It holds up. The racism is still there.
That's right.
Palpable.
It's casual racism.
Yes. Also, the fact that he would always find some love in town,
sure,
too. There was always some gal that was, you know, understood.
Was intrigued.
She was like an outcast, too, and they were both outcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Do you guys buy that theory? Like, I'm an outcast. Like, every cartoon I watched growing up, they're like, you're an outcast. I'm an outcast. I knew dudes who were fat. They didn't want to fuck other fat chicks. They wanted to fuck blondes, like hot models. They weren't like, hey, you're fat. I'm fat. Let's be fat together. Be like, well, no. I'll get a waif. I'll be a producer and fuck a model. You know, just because you're an outcast doesn't mean you want to be with other outcasts.
Yeah.
It's quite the contrary. You want to get in with the jocks. All right. When you have the beginning, you can tell me, Max Zapata. First, let me hit.
Did you watch that show, Adam?
I watched that show as a kid, and
did you like it?
I loved it. I mean, I had no choice. You know, there weren't other shows on.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have a smorgasbord of, you know, Netflix shows and Amazon streaming and all this stuff. But also, Kung Fu and Billy Jack, the movie, weren't so far apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think that martial arts and Kung Fu, you know, there's something to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it had a magical effect on it because they're both sort of, it transcended physicality.
Right.
Like there was a whole thing.
Well,
like
there's a spiritual aspect of
it. Yeah, like when I was in school, if some dude was a yellow belt over at the YMCA, like you don't mess with that dude.
Yeah.
Don't mess with that dude. He knows something. All right, I'll let Max Zapata see if you can find that. First, I'll tell you about Custom Ink. We're doing a cruise Oh, it's coming up in a couple of days, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, super fans. Get those custom shirts. I got my custom shirts. I sent them all over here. Custom ink. Ordering is simple. Website's really easy to use. So many options for products. Fast and free shipping. Max Zapata was wearing his, Adam Carolla.
We got some team jackets, windbreaker. North Face jackets. Very
what?
Nice.
Put the logo. Nice. Wait a minute.
You're going to want one of those.
Can I have one?
Put the logo right on the front there.
AdamCarolla.com.
That's right.
Adam, I swear to God, if you ignore me right now, can I have one?
I don't know if we made it. I don't get
Adam,
get Joe one.
Stop
Joe.
It. Yes. Can I have one?
Yes.
Stop.
Yes.
Short answer, yes.
We have
yes.
one for you.
Jeez. Adding your design is idiot-proof. Just upload the logo. They have so many templates in their design lab. Or if they're designer, if designing's not your thing, their people do it for you. Bring your people together at Custom Inc. and they can help. Special offer 10% off your next order. For full details, and you can start designing today, go to custominc.com/Adam. So Joe Coy.
Adam, I have an idea for you.
Yes, and
you
I have an idea for you.
Get this, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This Christmas, since you never give us Christmas presents,
mm-hmm.
all right?
And us.
I want you to know the staff, we had like a lunch and we all talked about this together. Mm-hmm. Since you don't give us Christmas presents, mm-hmm. we would like a cool Adam Carolla like North Face jacket only for the staff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Not the one you can buy online. We want our own North Face Adam Carolla jacket. And not like a cheesy one that you got free.
No, I get
not
it.
A windbreaker.
It's like the off colors because it's cheaper material.
Mm-hmm.
We want the black on black, Adam Carolla, North Face. Please, that's all we want for Christmas.
Max Zapata will show his, I think, somewhere.
Joe can speak for us.
All right.
You're welcome.
I had a thought for you, Joe Coy.
Yes, sir.
Oh, here's Max Zapata.
Oh, presenting you.
Yes!
Presenting it in.
Oh, is this mine?
It's yours.
That's yours.
Adam, this is so sick.
It's big time.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Bro, that's everyone, high quality. This is going to sell out so fast.
Thank
this
you,
is
Joe
beautiful.
Coy. It is.
They're really nice.
Oh, I
They're
love
really
North nice. Face. Yeah. It's the best company.
As any Jewish mother would say, it's good for layering. You got to layer it.
I'm telling you, when you sell merch, always make merch that you want to wear.
Yep.
I don't understand people that make merch, and it's like it's shit you would never even wear.
Yep.
Like, this is beautiful. Why wouldn't you wear this? This
the
is
Joe.
Like,
this is, I've this worn is. The Joe Coy hat so many times, and my dog ate it. Sadly, but
you mean Jimmy Kimmel hat.
I wear. Oh yeah, the JK hat. And now means Joe Coy. Because it's a good cap. And we all know the super crappy hats they give you that are all linen-y and small and weird and cheap. And you defeat your purpose because you do, in fact, save a few bucks per unit. But if no one ever wears it, then you
What's
get none
point?
Of the free advertising.
Mm-hmm. People
Joe
come
Coy.
Up to me at the end of my shows going, hey, got the Jimmy Kimmel hat.
Yeah.
thanks so much, Joy.
Now, I don't want to put you on the
Your
spot.
Your fans are beautiful, by the way.
Speaking of my fans, I don't want to put you on the spot. Uh-huh. But when I heard Joe Coy was playing the Forum, I thought, could I open for Joe Coy?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Could I go out? Now, I
Of course.
I don't need
You're
to
gonna
do
You're going
to
give him my 5 minutes?
The full whatever. But I would be so honored to go out there
I would love
and be
it.
An opener or one of your openers.
Yeah. I have two guys that I have to give them their spot. They've been with me since the beginning.
But did they give you a jacket?
No, they did not.
No, they did not.
No, they did not. But Adam, I would love for you to be up
so
there.
I would be so down with that.
Yeah. I want the whole crew there. We have... I'm not doing a... Well, I'll talk to you guys about it later, but we're doing a whole party in the VIP lounge, too, as well. So I want you guys there.
Oh, this would be awesome. Now, what do you think time-wise?
Make sure Matt Fondelier lets us all know.
I'm going to give you... I'll give you the hottest 3 minutes, but like we'll light you at a minute and a half. Don't run that light at them. And don't bring your own camera crew and shoot a special.
Hey, I got the guys from Quibi here. Oh, that's my time. That's my time. Thank you for them. Thank you for them. Find it on Quibi. Find it on Quibi.
That's so funny. If you did that, that'd be so funny. You got merch. He's got a merch table.
Thanks to Custom Inc.
Adam Carolla live at the Forum.
I would be so, because I'm from LA too, so obviously the Forum is like big, and idea of going out in front of 13,000 people.
Oh, you would love it.
I would love it.
I would love for you to go up.
Nice. Well, that would be awesome.
Yes.
So
can we mark that in the calendar?
We'll mark it on the, is it the 22nd?
And we gotta,
what is it, February 22nd?
I have a Corolla area for you guys, too. So, ooh, like, I saved you guys seats.
You're better and better.
Yeah.
I am.
Don't think I didn't save for my peeps, man. Oh. I made sure to allocate enough seats and, like, the best locations for all my...
They're in the Honda Center.
The only tough part...
which we might be playing pretty soon.
Yeah, they might be. Yeah.
The only tough part is going to be the ride over with my son where I'm explaining to him, look, here's how it works. I go up as the headliner, and then we have this guy named Joe Coy. He does a tight 70 minutes.
Mop up, dude.
He sort of mops up. His people are filing out. He tries to keep, it's like an ambient comedy going.
Music,
keep everyone's spirits up.
Right. Yeah.
Like, remember, son, they're all here to see your dad.
That's right. All right. Oh, we have the snatch to pebble from the hand from the Kung Fu pilot, everybody.
Is that me?
Tell me, what is your name?
Kwai Chang Kane.
Kane? Not a Chinese
name. He's a white guy.
My father was an American, venerable sir.
Oh, there we go.
Where are your parents now?
Both dead.
In hell.
Your grandparents?
Or heaven. I'm not sure.
Dead. All dead.
In the Shaolin Temple, we have never accepted anyone of other than full Chinese birth.
I'm sorry, but I think they're in a restaurant.
There is a first for everything.
Ooh. Kid does not look single half tier. Anything.
Single tear.
He's going to open his robe super slowly.
Come on.
You know how the game is played, don't you, son?
Stop.
Snatch.
Quickly as you can. Snatch the pebble from my hand.
Can't do it.
Didn't do it.
When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Oh.
Please excuse me.
Now, see, if this was anybody I went to junior high with, they would intentionally not snatch a pebble for their hands, like, well into their 30s. And they'd be like, Ma,
I'm still working
this
on
pot roast is dry. Now draw me a bath. And then at some point, they'd be throwing the pebble at him, like, all right.
Just pick the pebble up.
Pick the pebble up.
And leave.
The mom plants the pebble while they're sleeping in his hand. Of,
Ma, here's some laundry. All right, so that was Kane and Kung Fu. I'm now pre-excited about this whole form thing. That's going to be awesome.
Heck yeah.
Oh, I love it. All right, so let's see. Is our guest here or other guest here? What are we missing with Joe Coy?
International superstar.
International superstar because he bet on himself and then executed after betting on himself, but also all that led up to betting on yourself. I feel like people bet on themselves a little too early. You got to lay that groundwork, man. You got to get out and sell out all those shows and log all that stage time and then bet on yourself.
But you did that. You inspired everybody to do that. Like this whole podcast game is because of you. You're the one that did this out of a garage, and then you made enough money and built your own garage.
I don't
went to an even bigger garage.
Into another garage.
I like the garage setup.
Well, I will say, and thank you, it's not, you know, I don't look at myself that way, but I will say this. You know, everyone always goes like, how did you know it was going to work out? Like, how did you know spending hundreds of thousands of dollars producing and shooting and capturing and editing and lighting and everything else, your own Netflix special. How did you know it was going to work out? And the answer, no idea.
No idea.
And if you know, I think this is where the disconnect is. If somebody says, look, do X, Y, and Z, and it's all going to work out, and I'll guarantee you that, then anyone would do anything. Mm-hmm. Like if I said, look, sleep outside in your backyard on the ground for 3 days, come back in, you'll be a millionaire.
Done.
Everyone would go, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Nobody.
See you in 3 days.
Everyone would. But we're saying, go outside, sleep on the ground, and then come back in, and you're probably not going to be any different. You'll just have some mosquito bites.
Yeah.
There's a chance, but probably not. Yeah. That's when people go, no. Now I'm not doing it. So what you did with your special, or what I did with this, was you're betting on yourself, but you still have no idea what the outcome of the bet's going to be. And the answer is do it because you're supposed to do it and would have done it anyway.
Exactly, man.
If you start weighing the outcome
too much, it means you're not that interested in the process.
Yeah.
Like if you're weighing the destination, you're not weighing the journey. So the people who are sort of at the destination, grasshopper, and thinking about what could be, you're there for the journey. And the good news is the journey will get you to the destination, yeah, but you can be enjoying yourself or at least having an experience all the way through it.
That was the best thing I've ever heard right there.
That was TED Talk. That
was good, man. That's exactly it, man. Like, there's so many kids, the up and coming kids now. They just want it now. Mm-hmm. I'm so funny. I deserve this. I was like, okay, man. We all deserve it.
Joe, I don't want to have to vet my set with you or anything, but I do just want to give you a heads up.
We're
going to
do
work
a
it out
huge run through, by
with
the way, time. For you. I'm just going to be up front.
I take the first 20 minutes and I talk about...
First of all, you're not getting 20, so let's
slow
that down.
I said the first 20.
You sound like Brian when he walked in. He was like, I got my 15 ready. I'm like, good. Three of it.
I take the first 20 and I just talk about how Herbalife has changed my life and how I think I think your audience would benefit from it. I really do. Yeah. And okay. I just talk about it and it's not a hard sell.
I hear you.
It's not a hard sell. It's beneficial.
Oh, God.
And I think it would be for the 13,000. I feel like there'd be some benefit there. Yeah. And then we go right to the comedy set.
Okay.
It's just quick 20 talking about the benefit of Herbalife. It's a lifestyle. It's not just popping pills. We talk about that. It's not a pyramid scheme, by the way.
You invite people to get into your downline.
It's not a Ponzi scheme.
It's infotainment.
Right. Yeah. And then straight into the app.
Yeah. Do you have a PowerPoint?
I use a laser pointer, and we'll have to talk about there's a technical side of it. I say a couple of testimonials. We roll those in. And then we go right to the act.
Okay.
Well, legal comes out for 3 minutes.
Oh, there's a disclaimer. Yeah. Obviously, this is all stuff Joe knows. He's in the business. Yeah. And then we roll right into the act.
Okay.
I keep that to a tight 20. And then, whatever you want to do with the next 15 minutes is up to you. That's up to you. That's up to you. All right. Yeah, I give a quick promo code, and that's it. And it's all in the PowerPoint. Like, it's all up there.
It's all in the whole time, and no one can forget it.
I don't give them the hard sell.
No.
I joke when I say you're not leaving without signing up. I joke. That's a joke. It's part of the joke. You have to make it funny.
Except for the wink.
All right. Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge with your questions for Castrol Challenge, brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times, fool. Stronger, fool, against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic. What's the question, Maxipata?
Well, first off, got to remind everybody, there is a chance to meet Adam in Vegas, thanks to Castrol. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the bearded one, 11, on Twitter wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge, what are the pros and cons of buying new versus leasing?
Oh, I don't know a lot other than there's tax implications and write-offs. So it's like if you have a business, you buy the car, you say it's your business car, whatever, you do the lease. I got to say, just in the rich guy who doesn't want the hassles department, just getting a new car every 3 years and never, ever dealing with the service and all the other little things, or the warranty's running out, or I'm going to put it up on eBay and see what I can get for it. Like, there is a part of life which is sort of, it's kind of condo versus acreage, you know what I mean? Like, there's part of you that's like, don't you want to have a big field to play out in the backyard?
Sprawl
and then
out.
There's another part that's like, I just want to go with Candy Spelling and live on I want to live on Wilshire and not have to ever mow the lawn or deal with gophers or deal with whatever,
and not
picking up the dog poop.
Also the technological aspect too, because you're getting three-year-old, if you got 3 year lease, you know what I mean, you're getting new technology over 3 years.
Yes. And what people didn't realize, I don't think we ever realized this, is we all thought the technology was going to be the magnetic stability ride control or the anti-lock brakes. It's all in the technology. Yeah. It's all in the dashboard now.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Castrol Edge. Thank you, Joe Coy.
I love you, man.
I'm honored that I'm going to be able to join you on the 22nd out in February at the Fabulous Forum. Podcast, The Coy Pond. Everyone listen on Apple Podcasts and, of course, the Netflix special, Joe Coy, coming in hot. Very funny stand-up special. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Lindsay McCormick right after this.
10 years ago, one man set sail.
but I'm going to get guests in here. I'll get a studio, and we will create something together.
One man with a microphone in hand ranted.
No nailing schedule, no inspector, no nothing. Now,
nothing!
Debated.
I don't want to have a sociological debate.
Sure,
I want
why
to deal
would
with
you? Have, no.
No, here's why.
Why would you want to do that? Because the person from the Times wouldn't write good things about
oh,
you if
God.
You did that.
No, no, that's not the case.
And taught the world how to properly measure a penis.
From the center of the anus to just beyond the tip.
Now, it's time to commemorate a decade. Introducing the official 10 Years of ACS Scrapbook. Featuring never-before-seen photos and stories from behind the scenes at ACS, the early days of the podcast, and favorite memories from all your favorite guests. Signed by the entire ACS crew and every host on the network, this $99 scrapbook is limited to only 300 copies. Head to CorollaDrinks.com today to get a copy of your own or a gift for the holidays. Hurry, we will sell out. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Casper, Wyoming. A 29-year-old man is charged with domestic battery after hitting his girlfriend with Hot Pockets. Definitely Not a Jew.
Lindsay McCormick is in studio. She knows sports. She has a podcast called The Next 10. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One as well, and has covered fights for Showtime like Mayweather and Pacquiao, and has done Super Bowl stuff, and we'll get into all that. Good to see you, Lindsay.
Thank you for having me, Adam. I have a bone to pick with Gina, though.
I was not expecting this.
I was very offended by something she said. She put...
Join the club.
She put Jennifer Love Hewitt
in
the cute category.
Squarely in the center of cute, not hot.
No. Yes. No. And I'm very offended.
Sorry, I am too.
Yeah, you're that was the that. Only one out of the whole list that I really took a lot of heat for.
You're about to be more offended because I jumped all over Gina. Like, you're ridiculous. Jennifer Love Hewitt is smoking hot, and Dawson, I believe, was like, "Nah, cute."
Yep, Dawson sided with me.
I thought you were a man.
No, sorry.
She's Jennifer, got the hair. She's got the big sweaters and the mousy.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Moments.
Big sweaters.
Look, let's not mistake the brown sweaters. Hair. Look, she's a bosomy,
and
bosomy gets you from cute to hot.
That's, well, now I know.
Right.
Here's my...
After all these years.
Here's my logic.
But if you go too big in the bosom, you go back to
gotcha,
home.
Gotcha. Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Here's my...
just a caveat. Not for nothing.
And you
can overshoot the target.
You overshoot it.
Yeah.
It's understood.
Here's my rationale. If you have a song written about you called Your Body is a Wonderland...
Mm-hmm. Is that about her?
It's about her.
Oh,
John
okay.
Mayer wrote it when they were dating. About her. You can't be put in the cute category.
I did not realize she had a song about sexual romps with John Mayer.
I thought it was Jessica Simpson, but maybe I got those two screwed up. Now we're going to have to vet that. But either way, Jennifer Love Hewitt is hot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You heard it here.
We got to revisit this bit.
I interviewed her once, and she insisted I call her Love.
And that, come on. Mm. Is that hot?
I can look past that.
I'm telling you, I can tell you who's cute and who's hot, and she's hot.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are going to have to revisit this list because we did, 15 names, and we're going to have to go back and double check a few of them.
Lindsay McCormick is hot.
That's
true. Are we allowed to do that?
She is absolutely hot.
That's sweet. Thank you, guys.
Jennifer denies it, but Your Body's a Wonderland is heavily rumored to be about her. So that's
why would
what
you
we're
deny that?
I don't
like some
know.
Self-deprecating. Her quote is: "My body's far from a wonderland. My body's more like a pawn shop. There's a lot of interesting things put together, and if you look closely, you'd probably be excited, but at first glance, not so much."
Oh, Jennifer,
I hate when people are self-deprecating.
Love.
Yeah,
classic love.
So hot.
So, Lindsay, your story. I'm sorry. You grow up where? How does sports come about for you?
I grew up in Houston, Texas, a big sports city, and I basically had the option. I grew up in a big sports family. My grandpa was a star defensive end of University of Illinois and was drafted by the Redskins, and my option was either I love sports or I just really hate my life and my family.
What year was your grandfather? Because you're young, so you go grandfather, which sounds old, but that was in the, what year was that?
He was drafted by the Redskins in 1946.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Right after World War II.
Yeah.
Just trying to get it back together. I know George Allen happened upon at some point, became the big coach, but I don't even know who.
It's a little late in the Super Bowl era, right?
The Super Bowl didn't come around for another.
He was in the Super Bowl era in the 60s.
Yeah.
The 60s.
Yeah. All right. So,
the fuck, do I know?
Everyone in your family's sports, so you feel like you had to go sports. But does that mean you love sports, or does that mean you're just sort of guilted into it?
No. I honestly love sports, and I don't know if it's just growing up around it and being able to talk smack with some of the guys, but I developed a passion for it, and then I realized I could turn it into a career.
My feeling with sports is, in a world where we're never where everything's sort of daddy's money, or you're going, Hunter Biden, what's that guy know about petrochemicals? You know what I mean? He's on the board of what? Like, and that's our land. That's our land. That's where we live. At the guy, rich dad, he gets the guy a job, whatever. Sports. It is all based on performance. Nobody ever accused anyone of playing because he was the boss's son or the coach's son or the owner's son. Like, it just, and on rare occasion it happens at USC, John McKay.
J.K. McKay.
His son played wide receiver, but
he was okay.
He deserved to be out. I mean, he was out on the field. You know, he made plays. Like, it happens on occasion. Once in a while at the peewee level, you know, the dad starts the son at quarterback. Right. Really, but once you get to college and pros, nobody's out there who doesn't deserve to be out there. And they're all the best in the world.
Yeah.
And nobody sits at home and goes, I could play cornerback on that team. Like, they don't. But you do that with comedy. You do it with acting, you know. That guy's.
I can do that.
Or sometimes you go, that chick's just got the right look. Right.
Well, esports, I think that's why it's so popular, esports, because everybody feels like, oh, I could do that. I could make that kind of money playing video games.
Yeah, I think whatever you're talking about, like in life, if you want to work at McDonald's, then you can work at McDonald's and so can anyone else. So you're going to get paid $11 an hour. At a certain point, whether it's cornerback in the NFL or it's esports and you're getting $10 million a year, you just have to beat out tons and tons and tons. Like, I always just kind of look at jobs as not the actual profession of the job, but how many people would like to say they're a rock star or they're starting at for the Yankees, a shortstop, you know, like, or an e-sport making $10 million a year doing e-sport. How many other people want to do that? Those are all the people you have to beat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what it comes down to. And I think when it's somebody starting in the NFL or the aforementioned Joe Coy selling out the Forum, we go, that guy did that. He did that in a society filled with people who would like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He did it. And then you have a respect, right? Mm-hmm. His dad does own the Forum, though. I don't think you guys know that.
It's called the Coy Forum.
I didn't want to say anything while he was in studio.
Just known colloquially
as
the Coy Pond. Well, to Joe's point earlier, remember, he's like, the people you see who you think are an overnight success, like the litany of what goes into that, it's like the iceberg. You know what I mean? Most people see Joe Coy at the Forum or wherever he is headlining, and that's the iceberg. The under the water stuff, that's a lifetime, a career's worth of, you know, climbing and working and
just
pitching.
Just because you heard of them yesterday doesn't mean that they started working on their craft yesterday.
And failing.
And it's also a constant battle. It's like when we did Crank Yankers the first season, there were comedians I never heard of who were coming on who become big stars years later. And now 15 years later, you haven't really heard of them anymore. Like, so I hadn't heard of them
on round one. Round two, I have heard of them, but they weren't good enough to come back, right, or a name enough to come back. I mean, it
cycles
like sports. Like it's that thing. Yeah, well, it's like thing where it's like back in the day, you'd see like Joe Namath going to the Rams. It's like, oh, it's sad. Mm-hmm. You know, the great Joe Willie playing for the Rams. There's versions of that every day. Sorry. Yes.
No, you're good. I mean, this is entertaining for me.
I know, but you should talk. I don't want to talk. You, tell me. Let's see. What should we ask?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I know you have this amazing sports background. I envy it. I'm jealous of it. I don't. My father was a sports announcer. I don't have it in me. So what I want to know is, can we please talk about Ja Rule?
We can.
And so you
can.
So you had this, like, was it like an exclusive, or how was he?
When he first sat in the green room before he came in,
he came on to talk about Fyre Festival.
Yes. He was very quiet. I thought, oh, this is going to be a bad interview. And he came in studio, sat down, and then the second the lights went on, we were on air, it was like he was talking to a therapist.
Hmm.
He just wanted to express his side of it, and he took responsibility for the part that was his responsibility, putting his name on it at the beginning, and then not seeing it through and kind of thinking that his business partner, Billy, had everything under control. And he says that even when he looks back and watches the documentary, he's like, I knew some of that stuff was going on, but he goes, I didn't know the extent that it was going on. I just thought that here, my background's not business, his background is, then that was the direction that we were going to go. He's like, we should have pulled the plug and we didn't. And that's my responsibility, but it's made me a better leader because of it.
So you were part of the apology tour.
I was.
That's amazing.
Part of the apology tour.
Does Ja Rule, pardon me, but did he have lots of hits or like one mega hit?
Chris?
That we sort of know him from.
He has a few big hits that still get played today. One of them, I would think, I'm Real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look, enough about yourself. Let's focus on Ja Rule and his kids,
okay,
all right?
I
don't
songs.
Care about
yeah,
your
yeah.
personal ethos. All
but
right?
Also became,
like, that was like 20 years ago. Almost.
I'm Real.
But he also became a personality, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He became bigger than his music.
Right. Well, you can give us the couple of Ja Rules. And
it's always mind-blowing to me that when someone has a successful career in one field that they want to take on a different field. And for him, the biggest takeaway from that interview was that he now wants to get into more a different entrepreneurial, take a different entrepreneurial path.
Well, he has the whole don't do this list figured out.
Yeah.
So now he just can do the opposite.
Well, now he's launching a new app that's similar called Icon.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, we're living in a weird time where everyone used to just have a job, and they had a job like at the mill or at the factory or at the mine or what, a lumber yard or whatever it is. You just had a job, like, and that was your job, and you just kind of kept that job. And now everyone has 15 jobs, some of them simultaneously, and then you can't really tell anybody. You know, like, what if someone said to Shaquille O'Neal, look, your job's play basketball and that's all. Like, everyone just says, everyone does a million different things.
But what about Papa John's and the General?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
So everybody over the course of their life, I mean, I don't know what the studies are, but back in the day, your average American averaged like 1.5 jobs for a lifetime.
Sure.
And now it's got to be somewhere in double digits. And who could you... Can you tell anybody they can't have more than one job? And also, is the New World Order going to be, because you guys tell me if this rings true to you. I feel like I have 15 jobs. Like, the New World Order is going to, everyone is going to have a bunch of jobs.
The gig economy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so what I said to my wife after I got fired from the radio, I said, I think what it's going to be, this is like 11 years ago, I said, I think it's going to be a trough with a bunch of hoses going into it. And like some will be going pretty good and others will just be dripping and trickling. And some of the hoses are going to be sucking water out.
Sunny in Italia.
Yeah, those are the kids. You understand where I'm going here. Mm. our job is to kind of figure out what hoses are working well and the pressure's good and keep those going. Yeah. Find the ones that are sort of trickling and dripping and see if we can get them up, and find the ones that are sucking water out and pull them out of the,
get
the
rid
trough.
Of
that was sort of my metaphor.
Yeah.
She said, I'm going to binge watch Locked Up Abroad. And
can you move over?
Good luck with your trough. But I don't know. Is that the new world order, what I just described?
100%. The least amount of jobs I ever had at one time was when I got the morning show and this job. And mm-hmm. that was the least amount of jobs I ever did in a day. So that is how we live, especially if you're a creative, air quotes, person. You're never just going to do one thing. And you don't want to just do one thing.
And it's nice, but it also, in a weird way, opens the door to have a bunch of kids think they can do anything and might be disappointed. Yes,
rich man, poor man, just does one thing.
Yeah.
You're Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel, or you're just doing the one thing.
Well, I always sort of joke that if you one job pays better than three jobs, right. but nine jobs pays better than one job, like you will, yeah. like the bosom homely thing,
right.
as you cross, yeah. as you...
Yeah.
I think there are certain jobs, like sports broadcasting, for example, where you have to have a side hustle, or else there's no way you'd be able to make enough money to support a family unless you're Al Michaels. So for me, I got into investing and in different tech companies, and that was kind of how I paid the bills, and then I did broadcasting for fun. So I get that sort of slasher mentality on your Instagram bio where mm-hmm. it's like, actress / broadcaster / journalist. But there are some careers where you would have to be so focused on them and they're so time consuming. I don't know how you would be able to have 15 different jobs and still do a good job at the job that you have, like a lawyer.
Also, it sounds bizarre now that you think about it. It's also weird where I went and did a show in Napa and I ran into a friend of mine I went to high school with. I remember his name is Mike. He was on the football team, and so I know we're the same age because we graduated the same year in North Hollywood High. And I said, oh, hey, Mike, what are you up to? And he said, I'm still a cop. And I said, okay, how's it going? And he goes, I'm fixing to retire this year. And I thought, you're retiring.
Lucky son of a bitch.
And he's in good Max Pattisoms, like good shape, yeah. looks young, like... Oh yeah, you've been at it for 30 years. You're gonna retire. Yeah. And then I thought, is that good for him? Is that good for us? And then also maybe we should adjust things
good
a little bit
him.
Now that people are living to 92. Yeah. Like maybe this guy's strong, you know, 8% body fat, like
virile,
do whatever he wants for the next 25 years. So I think we're gonna have to adjust that. But then I also thought, like, what would that feeling be like just to be a tenured professor at a college, just going to the same place every day, like knowing you'll never get fired, knowing exactly what you're going to make year in and year out, no highs, no lows, total security.
Well, much like the iceberg analogy, it takes so long to get to be a tenured professor, for example, or even like I guess the cop, you know, like you're putting in so much work to get there. It's so hard. Like, isn't that kind of why we offer that as a, I don't know, reward is a bad word, but you know what I'm saying? As the incentive, like, you got to put in so much work and be such a good professor, right?
I don't know if you have to be good. You just have to be there, yeah. for sure.
Well,
I don't know. I think you can get tenured in like 8 years or something. I don't know. To look for it in the UC system or whatever.
But it doesn't even have to be professor. What about the GM plant anytime but now?
Right.
People would work there for the rest of their lives. They've had houses and cars and put their kids through college.
Yeah. Just it's anyway, everything's different, and my suggestion is everyone adapt quick, because you're going to be screwed otherwise. And, you know, like I, you know, when I was 19, I was signing up to be a fireman. So if I'd gone down that, not well, but if I'd gone down that road,
he's about ready to retire.
I'd be fixing to retire about now as well. All right, let me hit Lindsay. Is there anyone else you can think of who's hot, not cute, that you'd like to...
I got the list right here.
Generally 7 years, so says Max Apata, to be a tenured professor.
Wow.
It seems like it should be.
Should be, right?
It should be. All right. Geico, everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? And you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money,
put it in your pocket and get yourself a tweed jacket with patches on the sleeves when you become a tenured professor at Geico. .com. All right, so we got a cute versus hot list. Go ahead, Gina.
All right, so this is a list I came up with of all cute actresses. There's nothing wrong with being cute. Trust me. Cute's great.
There's plenty of hot actresses on there.
Okay. So I'm just going to go down. You know what? I'm going to start with Mount Cutemore. There's three actresses that you cannot debate me on. I won't listen to it because you're absolutely wrong. Three actresses, Mount Cutemore, Molly Ringwald, Drew Barrymore, Zooey Deschanel.
Molly Ringwald, cutest. For sure. Mm-hmm. There's a definition of cute, I think, which is like, I don't know, sort of getting the most out of what you got. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think she's that. Zooey Deschanel, I don't know.
They call her adorkable.
I called her cute.
And wait, is it her sister that's hot?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Oh, that's what it is.
From Bones.
All right. And then there is
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore is hot, but paints herself as cute.
Mm,
she works hard to be cute. She does The Voice. She's approachable. Mm. She's like funny. She's self-deprecating. She does the Adam Sandler movies. Like, she makes herself cute.
But you see hot through all of that cute facade?
I spot hot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I controversially said she was hot. I said she had a good run of hot from about, 1990 to like 1998.
Oh, I'm not, I'm adjusting for inflation. Like, I'm not going for like the 44-year-old version. Sure. It's no longer, I'm just looking at her, them in their prime. This is what them as. If made a postage stamp and put them on it, that would be the picture they would choose.
Sure. Yes. Amy Adams. I think Dawson was the only one that said she was hot.
Yeah, it's red hair is tough.
She's cute.
And I do have her more as cute.
She is very cute. Mm. Jennifer Lawrence.
Never been into her.
Yeah, it's not your thing.
Not my thing. Mm.
Emma Stone. What I would say a runner-up for Mount Cutemore.
Mm-hmm.
I had her as cute.
She's bumping up against the rev limiter of hot. But she's still cute.
That could also be personality based for her.
Lindsay, how say you, Emma Stone?
I think she's pretty.
Yeah, she's pretty.
I don't view her as cute or hot. And Jennifer Lawrence, it's her personality. She seems like one of the guys when you hear her in interviews.
Yeah.
So I don't think you could really put her in the cute category either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough one. Anna Kendrick.
Oh, she's hilarious.
I have her in the quirky / cute.
Yeah,
not in the hot.
I love you guys are creating your own categories now.
Yeah, you can't. You can't say pretty. We can say quirky. Mm-hmm. Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, not. Yeah, I don't know.
I had her as borderline. I had her as hot.
Yeah.
In the Spider-Man era?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Well, Brian, let's not repeat your favorite era of Kirsten Dunst.
Stop it.
You stop it.
Spider-Man 2?
Yeah. So kind of in the same... So how say you, Adam?
I was thinking, not for Kirsten Dunst, but I was thinking one day, not today, but for another day in another category, there are women that are handsome.
Mm.
And that handsome leads to hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Give us an example. Like,
Zero Dark Thirty.
Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain is a handsome woman.
She's a strong.
She's handsome. Who then goes leads to beauty.
Mm-hmm. I see that,
but
okay.
She's like
that's
a handsome woman.
Mm-hmm. I definitely wouldn't have. I appreciate the explanation because I wouldn't have called her handsome. Would you have?
No, absolutely not.
But I get what you're saying.
Why? Absolutely not. She has a chin like a guy. Who would you call handsome as a woman? She has male features and she's beautiful, but she's a handsome handsome
like
woman.
Gina Davis in her prime is a woman.
Oh, that's a great
woman.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. Yeah,
yes,
I get
there
it
was
now.
A God, here's a deep dive.
Meryl Hemingway.
Yeah. Mm. No, there was a who was the you can ask Gary. Sorry. No, it's out of your different category. Who was the attorney general who me and Mark Garagos kept calling handsome? She was a woman. She had like short hair and like a long neck. It's like long neck and a cleft in your chin.
Not Marsha Clark.
Helps. No, not Marsha Clark. I mean,
That'll be a list I'll be excited to see, because that one's a little harder for me to wrap my head around. This one, however, I'm not even going to talk to any of you about Jennifer Love Hewitt anymore.
Yes, hot.
Selena Gomez.
Oh.
She's a child.
Cute.
She is not a child. She's over 21.
She's cute with many of the trappings of hot, but ends up being cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
See what I'm saying?
I do.
Anytime you have a resume that includes Disney,
the
childhood actors, they either remain innocent or they
go full Miley.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a couple more here. I was shocked at the pushback I got from Brian, I believe, on this one, because I thought this was easy. Katie Holmes.
Oh, come on.
Cute. Fucking who's cuter than Katie Holmes?
Oh, God.
I have her more in the hot, but I'm with you. There's a folksy girl next door, down homesy,
apple cheeks,
whatever part. You got both, but I'll tell you what. If she got a pixie or bob haircut, I'd be more.
She was cute
to agree.
In my mind until she started dating Jamie Foxx, and then you thought, oh, there might be a side to her we don't know.
Oh, like a wild side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You gotta. Factor in who they're with. All right, let's bring this home. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. No one should feel unsafe at home, whether you're cute or hot. You need Simply Safe. Protect your home. Do it today. Free shipping at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll do the news with Gina Grad.